Good morning. Don't know about you all, but I've been enjoying the sunshine. It's quite nice. Desire y'all's prayers that the Lord would help me to get out the thought that He's given me this morning. So, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We've all heard that verse before. And a lot of times we tend to focus on the keep the commandments part. But I got to thinking, the Lord has been giving me some thoughts around the if you love me part. The first part of that. There is a verse that says God is love. And if you think about that, if God is love, I mean, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Sometimes we tend to focus more on what will happen if you don't keep his commandments. You know, the, dare I use the word, the punitive side of if you don't follow up and measure up to the rules. But there's a different side. God is a God of love. So, is he asking us to love him just because he's this big God that controls everything and just deserves to be loved? But he's not a loving God? Or is he a God that says, you know what? I am the creator of the universe. I did create everything. I am that big God. But I love you. And I want to do some things for you. I want to take care of you. Think about the greatest commandment that we have. To love God with your soul, your heart, your mind, your body, with everything. That's the first and greatest commandment. The Ten Commandments and all of that is follow on. So first and foremost, he wants to be loved. Thinking about the love between people. And I know we've got a few folks in these categories I'm about to talk about. Some of them, they're not here today. But in our congregation, we have some young men and some young women that are starting to draw affections out for folks, aren't they? How do they react around each other when you see those couples? Is it anger and harsh words, or is it, dare I say, just fluttering eyelids and fluttering hearts and kindness and what can I do for you? How can I help? Do you need me to get anything for you? Have you ever watched some of those young men that they suddenly want to do a lot for a young lady? You know? And thinking from the phrase, if you love me, you know, the young lady, well, if you love me, would you get me this? Oh, I'm the young man absolutely headed down the road to get it now. And it goes both ways. You can see sometimes the young man, well, I'd really like this. That young lady, well, if you want it, I love you. I'm going to do that. What about the elderly couples that's been married for years? I remember over there in Baton Rouge watching Brother Max and Sister Lula. Oh, there was a depth of love there. Sometimes they couldn't do a whole lot for each other. You know, that is the state of life sometimes. But what they could do, oh, they was willing to try. That love, that if you love me, would you do this for me? Oh, yes, I'll do that for you. I'll try to help. If I can't, I'll call somebody to get it done for you. Even if I can't do it myself, I want to take care of you. I want to help you out. In my family, an aunt and uncle of mine, when they were dating, kind of a humorous note, the aunt made a lemon meringue pie one time for my uncle. And he ate that pie and he went on about that was the best lemon meringue pie he'd ate. He loved it. So over the next little bit, when he would come around, she would make him a lemon meringue pie. And they got married, and that went on a few years into the marriage till finally they got comfortable enough with each other that one day he slipped up and he told her, he goes, look, you know, I really don't like lemon meringue pie. But because you made it, I wanted you to know I appreciated your cooking. You know, he had loved her. She had made that lemon meringue pie. And he didn't want to hurt her feelings. He wanted her to feel appreciated. Do you know the Lord loves us? And he wants us to know that if you love me, I want you to know I appreciate it. I want you to know that there's joy in that. So let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and let's start in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So we see here, even in the very beginning, this is God. He's about to go into Sodom and Gomorrah, but he stops and he considers Abraham. Now, Abraham is an interesting man. He didn't have the rules, the Old Testament that we have to reference back. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. He just had a relationship with the Lord. Dare I say, built on love. You're the God. And so here God is, he's like, I'm going to go pass judgment. But you know what? My servant, he loves me. I've made him a promise. Why don't I talk to him about this first? Why don't I just check in with him? His nephew's over there, where I'm going. There's something dear to his heart there. Isn't God a wonderful God? Even back then, before the establishment of the law, love was where God operated from. Because you can see there, even in the point of passing judgment, the concern for the people. Let me go talk to Abraham. I don't want him to be discouraged at what's about to happen. I want him to understand. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 through 7 says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" I know sometimes when we hear about Abraham being a friend of God, we tend to think of the passage over in James. But do you know, even back in the Old Testament, it was recognized that God and Abraham had a friendship. How do you treat your friends? Do you have a friend, but you really don't care for him? Would you call that a friend? You know, I've got a friend that I've had for years. We went to junior high and high school together, stayed in touch over the years. You know, I can call him probably any time, day or night, and if he's able to help me out, he will. And I've done the same for him. He's called me before, broke down, need help. I've called him, broke down, need help. Why do we help each other? Is it just because that's what you do for friends? Or is it because somewhere there's a relationship that goes deeper than just, I know this man? You know, there's a lot of people I know. And, you know, depending upon who they are, if they were to call me in the middle of the night in trouble, I might be a little, just being human here, folks, I might be a little more reluctant to help some people in the middle of the night than I would a close friend. So in James 2:23, where it did say, there it says, "And this scripture was fulfilled in faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So Abraham did something that God said, he loves me. That's true friendship. Now, if we read into James and get to looking into it, it looks like that was actually referencing back to when Isaac was put on the altar. So God had told Abraham, I'm going to give you seed, and through this seed, the whole world's going to be blessed. There's this wonderful thing in it. Years pass. What was it, 20 years, I think? And then finally the son is born. And now he's up as a teenager. And God says, now I want you to put him on the altar. I want you to show me how much you love me. I've given you the desire of your heart, the son. Is that son going to be more important than me? But there was more to it. There was a promise with that son. And so Abraham looked and said, no, my son's not more important than you, because I know where the promise lies. You said, if I love you, Lord, and I'm willing to follow you, this seed is going to be my promise. So I trust you, Lord. If you want me to do this, I'm willing to do this, because you've given me a promise of what my seed will turn into. So even if you require him to die on this altar, your word is true. You love me, and you won't do any harm to me. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10 says, "In showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now this comes out of the Ten Commandments. They're talking about the worshiping no other gods, not having graven images, and yet here in the middle of it is a, dare I say, a promise. Basically, if you will not worship all these other gods, if you will not make graven images, I'm going to show mercy unto those that love me, that keep my commandments. I have got something for you. Even there, it's not a matter of looking at what's the punitive side of the Ten Commandments. It's, if you love me, I've got mercy for you. I've got good for you. I want you to have a blessing. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. And starting in verse 17. It says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, and durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgments, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Here once again we see that God is talking about a reciprocal love. I love them that love me. This is a two-way street. He's like, I am the God of love. And I've got something for you. If you love me, I've got something for you. And what is it that he has? One, if you seek me, I will be found. I'm not a God that's going to disappear on you. A God that, what does he say in the Bible a lot of times about the gods of wood and stone? The gods that can't speak, can't move. You have to carry them around. They can't even walk. God's like, I am not that kind of God. I'm a God, if you come looking for me, I can be found. If you call out, I can hear. I can respond. I have something for you if you love me. He said, riches and honors are with him. But just any kind of riches? How many of us today have ever got a paycheck? How durable is your paycheck? I don't know about you all, but it seems like if you get a paycheck, it's amazing how it seems to last right up to the next one, but not very much further. Yeah, doesn't even the Bible talk about that with riches, there's things that's going to come up to consume them? So God has things for us, but he's got riches that are durable, riches that won't go away, riches and blessings that if we will look to him, they'll last. The next verses we're talking about fruit. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Fruit is an image of sustenance. God has the best sustenance we could have. Revenue, you could think of that as provisions or income. And God says, I know you're going to need things. You're going to need to be able to purchase. I've got that for you. And then he talks about, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. And in the midst of the paths of judgment, I found that to be an interesting study of that verse. Judgment. What is judgment? That almost, once again, can come with a negative tone to it. You know, you're going to pass judgment. The word here means legal decisions. And if you think about it, God is saying, as you walk your life, I'm going to help you on the paths of righteousness with those legal decisions that's going to determine where you're going to go for eternity. I will help you make the right choices. You don't have to fear these judgments, because when you make the right judgment, there's no punishment. There's a reward. And then the last verse there says that I may cause them that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now that word substance comes from a Hebrew word that means to stand out or exist. And when you step back and kind of think about that, the Lord says, and I will cause you to inherit existence. What is eternal life? Isn't that true existence? The Lord is saying, I will set you up in a way, if you love me, that your existence is sure. It's an inheritance. You won't pass away. And then the treasure, that's a storehouse. Where is our treasure supposed to be? In heaven? What does the Bible say? Where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. The Lord is saying, if you love me, I've got my heart on you, and I'm going to fill your treasures up here. And if you've got your heart on me, it's going to be a wonderful day when you get here. That mansion that Jesus told us about, did he lie about those? No. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm preparing a place for you. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 18. John 14, verse 15, I mean. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye know, see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he hath my commandments, and keepeth, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Here we see more blessings that are tied to you if you love me. It's not just if you love me, keep my commandments, because you know you need to follow the rules. But there's a blessing behind it. If you love me, we're going to have a comforter. How long is the comforter going to stick around? Here on earth, how many of y'all have ever went to comfort somebody? And then, are you still there comforting them? Or did you eventually hit a point where you had other things to do? You had to go home? But how long is the comforter going to stick around? Forever. That Holy Spirit says, if you love me, I've got a comfort that's not just going to show up during the bad times, but it'll stay with you even during the good. We'll help you. We'll guide you. Talks about even when we can't see Jesus. Have y'all felt before, and I know I have sometimes, where you're going along and suddenly you just feel like you can't touch the Lord anywhere? You pray and it's just going nowhere as far as you can tell. There's no movement. Dare I say the universe just seems quiet. But we have that comfort that the Spirit is still with us. And it can still reach out to God. It can make those groanings for us of things we can't utter. It can talk to Him. It also talks about how, so that we can live. Because I live, ye shall live also. Isn't part of the promise, if you love me, you'll have life more abundantly? Life that, not just here on earth, but into eternity. And then that last part that Judas, not Iscariot, asked about, well, how are you going to manifest yourself just to us? You know, that's a natural question. If I said I was going to show you all something, it's natural. But if I said nobody else is going to be able to see it, people might ask, well, how are you going to show us something but nobody else see it? Because if it's visible, we're going to see it. And that's where Jesus said, oh, but this is a different kind of manifestation. This is not something you can see. This is not something you can touch. This is something you're going to feel deep down inside. Something that only those that love me will get to see, will get to partake of. It's actually Him taking up residence in our lives. I'd like for us now to look at Ezekiel 34. Chapter 34, starting in verse 25. Ezekiel 34 and 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and places around about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his seasons. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yokes and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. You know, God wants us to love Him. Not just because He's a God to be feared, a God of judgment, but because He's got showers of blessings He wants to put on us. I have slept in the woods, just laid out on the ground before. There are some places I wouldn't do it. Yeah, there's the, I don't know if I would go into Yellowstone where the grizzly bears wander around, if I would feel very comfortable just sleeping out on the ground. But here it says, I'm going to protect you. If you wanted to just go sleep outside, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you from your enemies. It says, I will raise up for them a plant of renown. Now that word plant, we could also think of like a plantation or a farm. It says, I will raise up for them a farm of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land. The Lord will bless us to have the things we need. The folks around will look at us and understand, wow, look at how blessed they are. Now, does that mean it'll be the blessings the world looks for? That you'll have multiple mansions here on earth and fancy cars and... No. Because you know what? Those aren't durable riches. Those are not the blessings that the Lord has. He's willing to give us those as we need them, and even give us sometimes those to just bless us, to enjoy. But he's a God that wants us to know, if you love me, I have something for you that I'm willing to share. Why? Because I love you. And that's why he sent his son, because even his son was a gift to let us know, I love you. And I've got something for you. You all pray for me.